The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Who walk not after the flesh, but, what are the next three words? After the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but, next three words, after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are what? After the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Three times, after the Spirit, and it's talking about pursuing. We would say, go after it. We would talk about He's going after that. It means to pursue or to follow. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for what we've already enjoyed and now for the opportunity to stand and preach. But God, I know that within me dwelleth no good thing. And so I yield myself to Thee and pray and beg and plead in the name of the Lord Jesus that You would allow the Holy Spirit of God to do the preaching, to do the work. And God, would You give us not only Spirit-filled preaching, but Spirit-filled hearing. We know that the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I pray, God, that we would listen, and that we would respond, and that we would honor You. I pray, God, that You'd have Your way now, and we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get to the message, let me ask you a question. How would you describe your spirit? Now, just think about that for a moment. Don't just let that go in one ear and out the other. How would you describe your spirit? All right. Now, let me ask you another question. How would someone else describe your spirit? I got a feeling we'd get different answers. Maybe I could even ask it this way. How would your wife describe your spirit? How would your friends describe your spirit? Okay, we'll stop right there. How would you describe your spirit, and then how would others describe your spirit? There's a lot of different kind of spirits in the Bible. And we could talk about a lot of them. I want you to remember what Jesus said to James and John in Luke chapter 9. He said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Maybe some of us don't know what manner of spirit we're of. You know, we sometimes don't realize what other people are reading. And yet we're sending a message, but we would like to pretend like it's not they missed it. They misread us. And maybe they do sometimes. A lot of different kinds of spirits. There's a broken spirit in the Bible, an evil spirit, a dumb spirit, a free spirit, a faithful spirit, a foul spirit. A lot of different kinds of spirits in the Bible. There's a good spirit, a humble spirit, a meek spirit, a patient spirit. Any of you got that? A patient spirit, a perverse spirit, a quiet spirit. You know, if you've got a quiet spirit now, people are suspicious of you. A lady is supposed to be able to meet quiet spirit, but you get a quiet lady and everybody's going, what's wrong with her? You got to gossip like everybody else. Uh-oh. What kind of spirit you got right now? You got a meek spirit, a quiet spirit. You have a sorrowful spirit. You got an unclean spirit. You got a wounded spirit. Anybody know what that is? You ever been wounded? And then in the Bible, you'll read this phrase, the spirit of, and you can fill in the blank. A lot of those in the Bible, a spirit of bondage, a spirit of error, the spirit of truth. All these are in the Bible. Spirit of jealousy, spirit of fear. Hey, the Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Right? So if we're living in fear during this pandemic, where'd we get that? You probably got it from CNN. And God's certainly nowhere around that. Amen. Spirit of fear, spirit of grace. There is in the Bible a spirit of slumber. Some of you have got that. I noticed that even in Sunday school. Brother Lee, did you catch any of that in Sunday school? Thank you for being honest. He wants to just sort of be nice, but he saw it. I noticed in that song they just sung, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. I doubt it.
You wake up singing, don't you? Some of you have a spirit of slumber. Some of you have a spirit of heaviness. There's a lot of these different kind of spirits in the Bible. So I've asked you, how would you describe your spirit? I've asked you, how would others describe your spirit? I've looked at different spirits in the Bible. Let me ask you another question. Who makes up in the Bible the Godhead or the Trinity? You tell me it's Father, Son, and... Most of you said Holy Spirit. Why didn't you just say Spirit? You just naturally, and because your knowledge of the Bible is at a certain level, you just think Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in our text, let's get to our text, verse 1, it says at the end of the verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In verse 4, after the Spirit. Verse 5, after the Spirit. We said that means to pursue or to follow. I mean, if I ask you what kind of spirit you've got, well, let me ask you this. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what kind of spirit do you have?
Yeah.
Then wouldn't you have a Holy Spirit also? Right. Wouldn't your spirit be holy? Is that fair to ask that question?
Yeah.
I want you to think about this morning. I'm going to try to get you to think outside of your norm because we have been programmed to think a certain way. Go to Romans chapter 1. It's just right there close. Look at Romans chapter 1. It looks like from Romans chapter 8 that if we would pursue the Spirit and follow the Spirit, we could avoid condemnation and we could fulfill the law of righteousness. If we pursue the Holy Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, go after the Holy Spirit, we could avoid condemnation and we could fulfill righteousness. In Romans chapter 1 verse 3, Romans chapter 1 verse 3, it says concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. It looks like that the Spirit of holiness is a powerful spirit. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. For those of you that are visiting with us today, this series has been called Steps to Another Level. Have you ever wanted your Christianity to rise to another level? Have you ever wanted your walk with God to rise to another level? Have you ever wanted your prayer life to rise to another level? Have you ever wanted your comprehension and understanding and even application of the Word of God to rise to another level? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 19, Romans chapter 6 verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, that's your arms, your legs, your feet, your eyes, your yield your members servants to righteousness unto what? Holiness. Holiness. Look at chapter 6 verse 22. But now being made free from sin. Doesn't say the possibility. It says it's happened. You've been made free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto what? Holiness. It seems strange to me that He's called the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And yet when people think of the Holy Spirit, the last thing they think of is holiness. They normally don't think of holiness when they think of the Holy Spirit. Even though He's called the Holy Spirit. When people think of the Holy Spirit, some think of supernatural power and miracles. That's what some groups think of. They want more of the Holy Spirit because they want that power. The Bible would have us better to believe that really we don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs more of us. That would be much more biblical. Holy Spirit is a person. What'd you do? Get an arm and a leg and you waiting on the rest of Him? If you have the Holy Spirit, the question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? So some people want the Holy Spirit. They want power. They want miracles and so on. And they want that probably for self-serving reasons. Now when some people think of the Holy Spirit, they think of tongues and excitement. As I read my Bible based on Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, and studying the purpose of tongues, listen,
I don't know why the Holy Spirit would give you the gift of some unknown tongue when you won't use the tongue you've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Why should God give you an unknown tongue when you can speak English, your neighbor can speak English, but you don't tell them anything worth hearing anyway? You think all of a sudden you're going to get an unknown tongue and benefit your neighbor? No. People want that unknown tongue for their own benefit. I'm just telling you what a lot of people think of when they think of the Holy Spirit. Some people think of supernatural power and miracles. Some think of tongues and so on. Some think of being slain and just losing control. You know, they'll say, man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit showed up last night. It was just out of control. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit then. I'm not trying to make you mad at your aunt or your uncle or your grandma or your grandpa. But I read in Mark chapter 5 where there's this Gadarene demoniac. He's slain in the Spirit and out of control, but it's the devil. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him, then he has supernatural power, the power to sit down, be quiet, sit still, and dress right, and leave all those places where dead people are. You want power? How about the power to keep your mouth shut? How about the power just to relax? How about the power just to dress right? That's what the Gadarene demoniac got. He put his clothes on. When he's full of the devil, he took them off. It is quiet in here, isn't it? You see, too many people want to use the Holy Spirit rather than wanting the Holy Spirit to use them. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what do you think of? In our day, I fear more people are prone to make light or make fun of holiness than dare pursue it. I really believe there's an awful lot of people, even who profess to be saved, who are going to be more likely to make fun or make light of holiness than pursue it. We hear Holy Joe, Holy Roller, Holier Than Thou, Holy Toledo. Where'd that come from? Holy mackerel. How many of you ever heard holy mackerel? What's holy about a mackerel? People use those terms really who are not even interested in anything that's really holy because they're not interested in holiness. And if you try to promote holy living, you'll be labeled a self-righteous legalist. You preach on holiness, and people will call you a Pharisee, even though Pharisees weren't holy. Proving they know nothing about holiness. When you criticize someone who's trying to preach on holiness as being a legalist, you only prove your own ignorance. Amen. Why do they do this? Because people are interested in heaven. They're interested in happiness. They're even interested in health. But they're not interested in holiness. And holiness would benefit all the other three. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us that we're to cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. So as I preach this series on steps to another level, I'm asking this question this morning. Is it possible that so many of God's people are not interested in another level because it involves holiness? To get to that next level might require holiness. We want the Holy Spirit to lead us when we're looking for a job or trying to make a big decision. We want the Holy Spirit to pray for us, as Romans 8 teaches He does. We want the Holy Spirit to seal us and give us assurance. We want the Holy Spirit to give us joy and peace and confidence. But holiness? Holy Spirit, leave me alone. I'm all right. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. It's the Holy Spirit, according to chapter 8, verse 13, who gives us the power to mortify the deeds of the body. Y'all see that? You and I are to mortify the deeds
of the body. How do you do that? In the power of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is diverse. The work of the Holy Spirit is dynamic. But I think if I could get your attention this morning for a few minutes, I'll tell you some of the main fruits of the Holy Spirit, some of the main work of the Holy Spirit. Number one, according to chapter 8, verse 2, He liberates us. He hath made me free from the law of sin. And He liberates us. In chapter 5, verse 5, let me tell you what the Bible says there. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit liberates us and then loves through us. Did you know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can love in a way you can't love otherwise? You can care about your neighbor. You can have a burden for lost souls. The Holy Spirit liberates, the Holy Spirit loves, the Holy Spirit leads in chapter 8, verse 14. But chapter 8, verse 10 is what I would have you look at for just a moment. If you will, get Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and Romans chapter 14 in one hand. Romans chapter 8, verse 10, the Holy Spirit liberates, the Holy Spirit loves, the Holy Spirit leads. But in chapter 8, verse 10, look at it. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I would say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit liberates, loves, leads, but the Holy Spirit lives. Real life is when the Holy Spirit of God lives through you and it leads to righteousness and peace and joy. Who wouldn't want that? The question is, what life is being lived through you? Is it the new man or the old man? Please hear me tonight, this morning, church. Please hear what I'm about to say. I'm not trying to be mean towards other beliefs, but I've got to be honest. The Holy Spirit is not a power that overcomes you on special occasions. The Holy Spirit is not a power that shows up for a few minutes and then disappears. The Holy Spirit is not a power that makes a big scene in a church service and then waits until some other church service to do it again. That's not the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a person who indwells the child of God, enabling him to live a life of holiness when he leaves the church and goes to work and goes to school and goes to the ball game and goes home. Listen, if I want to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't need to watch you Sunday night. I need to watch you Monday night. If I want to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't need to see how you're doing on Sunday morning during the song service. I need to know how you're doing on Friday night when your children disobey you. Then we'll find out what you're full of. Amen. Y'all okay this morning? I don't know. I can't hardly read what's going on. I don't know if this is real good interest or I just need to be somewhere else attitude. We're talking about the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit in you if you're saved, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Last Sunday night, I preached a message all of you thoroughly enjoyed on things I cannot fix. Because, as I alluded to Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, certain behavior gets so ingrained in us and we get so comfortable with it, it becomes acceptable and we're not willing to change. Any more than a leopard can change his spots. Remember the message last Sunday night on some things your pastor cannot fix? But I'll tell you one thing, the Holy Spirit can fix it. I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. You know what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1? He said, this is Simon Peter, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy, listen, in all manner of conversation, in your entire lifestyle, be holy. Not just on Sunday, not just when you're reading your Bible, not just when you're praying, but when you're talking to your neighbor, when you're talking to your wife. Live a life of holiness. I looked up the word holy in a dictionary. Sanctified, moral quality, consecrated, a lifestyle acceptable to God. Have you ever studied the names of God in the Bible? Boy, that'd keep you busy for a while, wouldn't it? There's a lot of names we like to talk about, some we don't really think about. For one thing, in Exodus, His name is Jealous. His name is Jealous. In Exodus 15, He's a man of war. We don't think of God like that. But listen to this verse. This is Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. The One who is high and lifted up and inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. You know what we do? We focus on the qualities of God that benefit us. When we want to think about the character or the qualities of God, we talk about God's grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. I'm glad He's a gracious God. We want to talk about His mercy. I'm glad God is a merciful God. We want to talk about His love. Aren't you glad He loved you? In spite of you. Amen. We want to talk about, oh, what a merciful God. What a loving God. What a gracious God. We want to talk about God's power. What a powerful God He is. But we're unbalanced in our thinking. We really are. What about God's righteousness? What about God? What about God's jealousy? What about His justice? And what about His holiness? There's a scene in heaven, more than once in the Bible. One of them is Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is permitted to see into the throne room. And he's able to see what's going on in heaven. And he sees the Lord high and lifted up. And he sees and hears the seraphim praising God and crying out, grace, grace, grace. Love, love, love. Nope. Mercy, mercy, mercy. No! What are they crying out? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Why do we not think of His holiness? But we think of His mercy. What about the four beasts in Revelation chapter 4 who are bowing down at His feet? What are they crying? Holy, holy, holy. Saints, listen to me. We've got the Holy Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are supposed to be a holy temple. We're part of a holy nation, which is the church. We're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. And the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We're to lift up holy hands and praise Him. Holy Bible, Holy Spirit, Holy Church, Holy Nation, Holy Hands, Holy Bodies. And the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God's called us to holiness. You know, some people would have you believe if you're filled with the Holy Spirit that you'll speak in tongues and that you'll do signs and wonders and have a holy fit. But the Bible says the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit would be holy living and holy loving and holy longing. That's what the Bible teaches. In this Bible-rejecting world that you and I are living in, you know, I said in Sunday school that hyperbole is something that bugs me. I also hate to hear politicians misquoting the Bible. They'll pull out a verse to serve their own ends. That really irks me. And they'll quote a verse out of context. Why do they quote a Bible when they're not even interested in the Holy Bible? They're not interested in holiness. People will attend a sugar-coated church, but they don't want any part of a holy church. They'll leave that church. That makes them uncomfortable. They're not bothered that you believe in God, but if you live a holy life, you won't have all those friends. I'm just being honest with you. You can talk about God all you want to. If you start living holy, you know, if a preacher claims to be called to preach, preaches for 3 years and then quits, he's criticized. And yet you're called to holiness. Have you quit? That's what you're called to. 1 Thessalonians, God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I'll tell you something that if you'll think about it, it'll help you.
Now, this is in my limited understanding of American history. Here's what I see. Bible Christianity has devolved into conservative morality. There is a big difference between being holy and spiritual and being moral. We know how to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. We know how to say thank you and please. We know that we're not going to rob the liquor store. We're not going to steal. Most of us believe in morality. But do we believe in holiness? Did you know I know some lost people that have higher morals than some saved people? I'm being honest when I tell you that. Some unsaved people are more bothered by gossip than you are. Some unsaved people are bothered more by lying than some of you are. Morality is not holiness. You're not spiritual because you're moral. You remember that man in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus talked about who was clean and swept and garnished, but empty? So you can get cleaned up, swept and garnished, and still be empty. But you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and be empty. Then you're filled. You see, I'm convinced that what happened is America, somewhere between, let's just say 1776, let's just say 1800 and the early 1900s, went from having a fear of God and a biblical character to many of the people. Listen, I hope I've never said America was a Christian nation, but I'm going to tell you something. There were a lot of Christian qualities in this nation. And a lot of our laws were built on Christian principles. But listen to me. We went from fearing God and being a people who believed in the God of the Bible and believed in the Bible as a good law standard, to now we believe in legislation passing laws. And you know what we're finding out? It doesn't work. Move to Seattle. Move to Chicago. It's the law of the Spirit that works, not the law of the land. We can pass all the laws we want, but it won't change the heart. And it won't fix the problem in America. But if we'd get back to the Bible, we could fix the problem. We could even fix the problem in a local church if we'd get back to the Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 1, Peter says this, "Be ye holy." He says, God says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Please listen to me. He says, "Be holy." It's not what we do, it's what we are. There is a difference. Holiness is an inner quality with outward manifestations. It will show up on the outside. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Bear with me now. It's not to beat you up. This is to help you. Look at Ephesians 5:18, and somebody tell me as soon as you can find out where that sentence ends. Ephesians 5:18, where does the sentence end? Where's the period? The end of verse 21. So let's read the entire sentence. Ephesians 5:18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Semicolon. Well, what happens if you're filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Being filled will affect your music. Is that safe to say? Being filled with the Holy Spirit will affect your music. Number two, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It not only affects your music, it affects your melody. You say, "Brother Ron, melody is a part of music." I'm talking about the melody of your heart. There is a difference. You know, your heart can get out of rhythm. But I'm not talking about that pump. I'm not talking about that organ. How's your heart? Is it in rhythm with God? Being filled affects your music. It affects your melody. I looked up the word melody in the dictionary. Here's the very first definition in my dictionary at my house. a sweet or agreeable succession or arrangement of sounds. I guess if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'd be a little sweeter. I think most of us would be sweeter if we were filled with the Holy Spirit. So it ought to affect your music, your melody. It ought to affect your mindset or your mentality. Notice verse 20, giving thanks always. Did I get that right? Giving thanks always. You'll have an attitude of gratitude. And then verse 21, submission. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects your mindset. What do I mean by mindset? You'd have an attitude of gratitude. I believe it'd be safe for me to say if you are a murmuring, complaining, discontented person, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody okay? If you are a murmuring, complaining, whining, discontented person, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you can't take orders from anybody, you're probably not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects your music, your melody, your mindset, and I'll throw in real quick your marriage. Because the very next verse, 22, wives, verse 25, husbands, verse 1 of chapter 6, children. See, everybody wants to get filled with the Holy Spirit and run the aisles and wallow around in the floor. God wants you to get filled with the Holy Spirit and treat your wife right. God wants you to get filled with the Holy Spirit and provoke not your children to wrath. God wants you to get filled with the Holy Spirit and honor your husband. Everybody okay? We're talking about the spirit of holiness, which is a lifestyle, not an every now and then occurrence. Trying to get a biblical mindset here about what it means. Let me ask you this. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. You're in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm almost through. Hang in there with me. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The Bible says to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I want to ask you it's just a simple question. It's a deep theological question. Is that a choice?
Right.
You can choose to be drunk with wine or you can choose not to be, right? What's the rest of the verse say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that a choice? Absolutely. If you believe the Bible, it is. You won't find anybody in the Bible praying, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means yielding to the Holy Spirit, pursuing the Holy Spirit, dying to self and allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you. We'll close with a Bible illustration. Back up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You'll also find this in Colossians 3. But the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now that's talking about walking like the Gentiles in verse 17, 18, and 19. That's not the way you learned Christ. He said, there's some things you've learned, church at Ephesus. Now start acting like it. Verse 21. If so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Look at this. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Put him off. What is that old man? He's the one which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says you've got to put one off and put one on. And the link is in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this is basically what I've been preaching and teaching from the book of Romans. Here's what it says in chapter 6, verse 13. Just listen to it. Neither yield ye your members, but yield yourselves unto God. Chapter 6, verse 19. Yield your members. And it's talking about you making a choice. In chapter 8, verse 5, they that are after the flesh versus they that are after the Spirit. It's a choice you make. I brought something with me this morning. And I know you're going to be impressed with this new jacket I've got. And my wife tried a few years ago to get me to throw it away. I asked her this morning if she still wants me to throw it away, and she said no. And I asked her why. What's a good-looking jacket right there? Anybody see them holes? Can you see them from there? You probably can't see them. You could if you could see through the light. There's holes all in it. That's my burn pile jacket. And man, I have felt the flames at times on this jacket. And Rhonda has redone the lining just once. No, several times.
Don't you like that jacket? That jacket's 42 years old. That's my baseball jacket. That's my Carson Newman jacket. 42 years old. I don't want to get rid of it. Some of you don't understand why. Now, I've got a passage here that says I'm supposed to take off the old man and put on the new, like it's some kind of garment. Like it's something you can just take off or put on. Could I say that usually it's either on or off?
Yeah. Right.
You know, I just don't, you ain't going to see me walking around like this.
Yeah. Right.
See, I don't even know if I'm on or off here.
Right.
I don't even think there's a word for this. It's sort of like, you can't be half on, half off. You're either on or off.
Yeah.
You can't be half pregnant. Somebody says, she's sort of pregnant. No, she either is or she ain't.
Right?
I'm sorry to use such a base illustration, but it's either you are or you're not. And so I've got this jacket and I choose to put it on. And I choose to take it off. And while I was preparing this message, I asked myself, why do I still have it? Why do I still have this jacket? You know what some people want to do? The Bible says put off the old man. They'll take it off. But they ain't going to get rid of it. We're going to hold on to this thing. I might want to put him back on here for too long. You know, I'll take him off to go to church on Sunday. But I'm going to put him in the back seat of the car Friday night because I'm probably going to want to put him on before I get home. Huh? Some of you will take it off, but you won't turn it loose. Y'all can believe this or not, somewhere around 5:36 o'clock this morning, I got it in my head I was going to bring this jacket up here this morning and burn it in front of every one of you. Because I asked myself, why do I still have that jacket? Some of you won't believe this. But for a long time, I held on to that jacket like some of you hold on to trophies and photo albums. You just don't want to let go of that old man. Matter of fact, you're sort of like the children in the wilderness. When you start reminiscing, you want to talk about Egypt. You're more interested in Egypt than you are Canaan. You're interested in steps to another level, the level you just came from. You want to go back, not forward. You want to go down, not up. Oh, we remember Egypt. You know, and I thought about that. And I asked Rhonda, I said, would it bother you if I got rid of that coat? She said, yeah. And the reason it bothered her probably is because she sewed 3 or 4 linings in it and she knows I like it to work in. And if I don't get rid of that coat, I have total peace right now. You won't believe this, that the reason I won't get rid of it, it is my favorite work jacket. It's just comfortable and I like it. But if I'm holding on to it because of the memories I have of 1978, I'll just burn it because those memories was a total waste of time to God. Some of you are more interested in the days in which you live for this world than you are the days you live for God. And you cling to those old garments. Don't misunderstand this. I'm not throwing my wife under the bus, but my wife, she's one of those that if you're at my house and she was asking questions about when we first got married, she wouldn't care to pull out albums and show you pictures. I'd want to go somewhere while you look through them because I'm embarrassed. And I could burn those pictures and it would not bother me one bit. Those are my days in the wilderness. They were a waste of my time, Brother Buddy. And I can let them go I can burn that coat now with a clear conscience because what I did in 1978 and 79 was in the wilderness. A wasted life. God says, take that old man and put him off. Get the new man and put him on. When he comes, that old man, take him off. You know, Moab in the Bible is a picture of your flesh. You know what the Bible says about Moab in Jeremiah 48? He hath not been emptied. Moab has to be emptied. I'm just guessing that some of you stood in front of a closet this morning and looked at those clothes. And I just got a weird feeling that even the men, but especially the women, did not walk into your closet, grab a hanger and say, that's what I'm wearing today. Eyes closed. Don't really care. This is what I'm wearing. Oh, I wouldn't be seen anywhere with that on. Burn it. Get rid of it. Some of you are missing the illustration. You'll get it before I get through. I'm not through yet. I'm not talking about your physical clothes. What I'm trying to tell you is some people actually, most people really, they do think before they put it on. You're looking at the closet, you're going to go to a ball game. You're looking at the closet and you're going to go to Sunday night church service. You're looking at the closet and you're going out on your anniversary trip with your wife or your husband. And you look at it and you think about what you're putting on. Why don't you do that spiritually? You're fixing to walk out of the house and God says, take that off. I don't want you wearing that anger. You're going to leave your house wearing that bitterness? You need to put that off. You mean to tell me that you're going to go out of your house wearing that grudge, wearing that jealousy, wearing that, and you fill in the blank. God says, put it off. Put it off. You're going to wear that lust to church? Put it off. Think about what you're wearing. Don't wear that. You know what many of us fear? We fear the fruit of holiness. Many of you think that holiness is dull, dry, somber. You think a man, when he prays, oh God, that's not holiness, that's hypocrisy. Honestly, you think some guy, when he talks, oh, I would like to tell you what Jesus spoke to me this morning about. That's not holiness. And some of you fear that because that's the way you perceive holiness. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's God's morality. It's God's character produced through the Holy Spirit in your life. And it leads to righteousness and peace and joy. Not misery and dryness and death. Do you remember what the Shunammite woman said to her husband as Elisha passed by? She said, I perceived that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Today's preachers want to be cool. They want to be contemporary. They want to be relevant. They want to be one of the boys. They want to be up to date. Saints, I can't think of a higher compliment than somebody might say about me or you one of these days. That man was a holy man. And a holy woman. They lived a life of holiness. And God says, really, it's your choice. Take off the old man and put on the new. Amen? Is it the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit? Holy Spirit or unclean spirit? Holy Spirit or wicked, vile spirit? Which one are we to put on? It's our choice. Amen? Everybody okay? Amen. We're not having an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to go home and think on these things. Let's all stand.